Syphilis is a sexually transmitted disease caused by the bacterium Treponema pallidum, subspecies pallidum, or T. pallidum. The treatment recommended by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, for most types of syphilis is penicillin G benzathine as a single intramuscular dose of 2.4 million units for adults. Other treatment options for early syphilis include tetracyclines, macrolides, and cephalosporins. According to CDC guidelines, those alternative antibiotics may be used in penicillin-allergic patients, except for pregnant women, who should be desensitized and then treated with penicillin. This graph shows the incidence of primary and secondary syphilis in San Francisco between 1998 and 2007, with the year on the x-axis and the number of cases per 100,000 residents on the y-axis. The incidence rose nearly tenfold between 1998 and 2004. This increase resulted from greater numbers of cases in men who have sex with men, who accounted for 20% of primary and secondary syphilis cases in 1998, and over 90% of cases from 2002 through the present. As part of the response to this outbreak, in July 2002, the San Francisco Department of Public Health, or DPH, initiated a program in which sex partners of syphilis patients were treated with a single 1 gram dose of azithromycin, an antibiotic in the macrolide class. DPH also continued to use azithromycin in a single 2 gram dose to treat penicillin-allergic syphilis patients. Shortly thereafter, DPH began noting treatment failures in patients with primary or incubating syphilis who had been treated with azithromycin. The A2058G mutation that confers azithromycin resistance in T. pallidum was identified by gene sequencing of specimens of T. pallidum obtained from two of those patients who had failed azithromycin therapy. The A2058G mutation refers to an A to G mutation at position 2058 of the T. pallidum 23S ribosomal RNA gene. It confers azithromycin resistance by preventing binding of azithromycin to the bacterial ribosome. If azithromycin cannot bind to the ribosome, it cannot interfere with protein synthesis to cause a bacteriostatic effect. A polymerase chain reaction, or PCR-based assay, was then developed to detect this mutation in other T. pallidum specimens. That PCR-based assay was used to test specimens of T. pallidum obtained from patients seen at the San Francisco City Clinic, the city's municipal STD clinic, from 1999 to 2004. The percentage of azithromycin-resistant T. pallidum specimens increased from 4% between 1999 and 2002 to 38% in 2003 and 54% in 2004. A case control study showed that resistance was associated with azithromycin use for a non-syphilis related reason within 30 days prior to syphilis diagnosis. In September 2004, DPH ceased using or recommending azithromycin for syphilis treatment citywide. Of note, azithromycin resistance in T. pallidum has also been identified in Seattle, Baltimore, Canada, and Ireland. In order to continue to monitor azithromycin resistance in T. pallidum in syphilis patients in San Francisco, we conducted a study. The objectives of that study were threefold. First, to assess azithromycin resistance in T. pallidum specimens obtained from syphilis patients in San Francisco in 2005 and 2006. Second, to compare resistance rates in 2005 and 2006 to rates from 1999 to 2004. And third, to identify factors associated with presentation with a resistant Treponema pallidum infection in San Francisco in 2005 and 2006. We studied patients with dark field positive primary syphilis lesions or moist secondary syphilis lesions seen at the San Francisco City Clinic in 2005 and 2006. We obtained patient data from public health records. We obtained T. pallidum specimens by swabbing lesions during clinical encounters. Testing for azithromycin resistance was done using the PCR-based assay mentioned previously to detect the A2058G mutation. Comparison data for years prior to 2005 were taken from a previous study of City Clinic patients that used those same methods. Statistical analyses included logistic regression modeling to assess trends over time, and Wilcoxon ranked some tests and Fisher's exact tests to assess continuous and categorical variables, respectively. Swabs of lesions were obtained from 44 patients with primary syphilis. Swabs of lesions were also obtained from 3 patients with secondary syphilis and 2 patients with syphilis of undocumented stage. Of the 49 swabs that were sent for azithromycin resistance analysis, 39 contained sufficient DNA for analysis, including 37 from patients with primary syphilis and 2 from patients with secondary syphilis. Of the 39 analyzed swabs, 17 were obtained in 2005 and 22 in 2006. Of the 39 patients studied, the median age was 45 with a range of 23 to 62. 97% of patients were men, 92% were men who have sex with men, 41% were co-infected with HIV, and 3% had taken azithromycin within 3 months prior to diagnosis. Comparing the 37 patients with primary syphilis whose specimens were analyzed to all primary syphilis patients seen at City Clinic in 2005 and 2006, the distribution of these characteristics did not differ significantly. This graph shows on the x-axis the year or years studied, and on the y-axis the percentage of T. pallidum specimens resistant to azithromycin. Comparison data from 1999 to 2004 are shaded gray, and those from the current study are in turquoise. 1999 to 2002 are combined here because there were only 24 specimens tested during this period, resulting in unstable yearly estimates. In 2005 and 2006, the percentages of azithromycin-resistant specimens were 76.5% and 77.3%, respectively. Those proportions represent a statistically significant continued increase in azithromycin resistance since 1999. Note that none of the patients seen after 2004 were treated for syphilis with azithromycin. Characteristics of patients, including age, sex, sexual orientation, HIV infection status, and azithromycin use within 3 months prior to diagnosis, did not differ significantly between those with azithromycin-sensitive and azithromycin-resistant T. pallidum specimens. This investigation was subject to at least 2 limitations. First, we studied only a subset of syphilis patients. Of all patients with primary or secondary syphilis in San Francisco during the study period, only 25% were seen at San Francisco City Clinic. Second, we had limited power to detect differences, associations with patient characteristics, with only 39 patients studied. In summary, azithromycin resistance was present in 76.5% of T. pallidum specimens in 2005 and 77.3% of specimens in 2006. Those percentages represent a continued statistically significant increase in azithromycin resistance since 1999, despite decreased use of azithromycin for syphilis in San Francisco. No patient characteristics were associated with presentation with a resistant infection in 2005 and 2006, including age, sex, sexual orientation, HIV infection status, and recent azithromycin use. Based on the findings of this investigation, there is, first, a need for vigilance for treatment failures in syphilis patients treated with azithromycin. This is particularly the case for developing countries, where azithromycin is currently being studied as a potential first-line treatment for syphilis because it can be given orally, avoiding the need for injection equipment and trained medical personnel to administer injections. Second, there is a continued need for development of new antibiotics to treat syphilis. Third, there is also a need for surveillance for azithromycin resistance in treponema pallidum in areas where azithromycin may be used to treat syphilis. To this end, the CDC this year launched a nationwide surveillance project to assess azithromycin resistance in T. pallidum. Of note, the San Francisco Department of Public Health and collaborators have recently developed an enhanced real-time PCR-based assay for azithromycin resistance that can generate results in less than 4 hours compared to the 10 hours required by the other assay. This new assay was 100% sensitive and specific for detecting the A2058G mutation compared to the other assay. This new assay uses a melting curve analysis to determine the presence of the mutation. This graph shows temperature on the x-axis and fluorescence corresponding to melting peaks on the y-axis. The curves in the figure represent the different melting curves for an azithromycin-sensitive T. pallidum strain, the Nichols strain, and an azithromycin-resistant T. pallidum strain that contains the A2058G mutation, the Street 14 strain. This assay to more rapidly assess T. pallidum specimens holds promise for clinical as well as epidemiologic use. I'd like to acknowledge these people for their help in this investigation, and I thank you very much.